This is a very special day in the life of the church and in our congregation. It's Pentecost, as we heard in our reading today, the day when we celebrate the Holy Spirit falling upon this group of disciples in Jerusalem and that Spirit going out, and also the day that we renew our covenant as a church. Covenant members are part of this congregation and commit to doing life together in a particular way. This week, we'll invite new members to join in that covenant, and we'll celebrate everyone who's a part of our church in any way, fellow travelers, as we call you along the way. And today in the sermon, we'll get to hear a little bit about the way that the shape this community has taken over the past year. Some of the things that are new or different about our life, and to celebrate what God has done among us. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The day of Pentecost has arrived, and Jews from different languages and cultures, they've gathered for Shavuot, one of the three pilgrimage festivals. Everyone is in Jerusalem. And suddenly there's the sound of a hurricane, and then suddenly what looks like flame, like a wick on each head. The Holy Spirit descends upon them. And even though the preacher speaks in Aramaic, the word sounds as if it is spoken in their native tongue. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Often when I've thought about this passage, I've imagined something like our worship service. And what if Xu Ting was to read the scripture in Mandarin, but I suddenly understood it? What if the words she spoke were interpreted like a cosmic Google Translate by the Holy Spirit back to me? I would love that. And I do love that image. But it seems like something different actually may be happening here. It is actually likely that everyone in this room understood the lingua franca spoken in that moment. For most of the ancient world, under Roman Empire, Aramaic was the language that was used for business and religious study, in the same way, embarrassingly, you can get away with English in a lot of other countries around the world. Aramaic was the common language, and it's most likely that everyone knew this language in addition to their second language, their home language, on that day of Pentecost. As it is, the miracle of Pentecost may not be about interpretation of one language to another. Instead, in Acts, we witness something just as profound. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. It's one thing to understand the words, and it is another for God to make home in your language and culture. And it is one step further than that for God to open the door for others to meet us in the intimacy of our experiences and our lives and our language. Ever since the first Pentecost over 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit has worked among those in the church to step beyond knowing the words and into knitting together our lives. We begin to hear one another through the depths of our human experiences. We're able, through God's act among us, to enfold our lives together without erasing who we are, without the disappearance of what makes us us. And today we're looking back at what that's meant for us as a church, how the Spirit continues to work among us so that we too can hear the good news, each in our own language, somehow miraculously, all together. And in the past year, there are ways this has happened through literal language. God has brought us lots of people, many of whom are joining the church today, whose native language is Spanish. We have another family, again, Xu Ting, whose home language is Chinese. Several of us in this church have dedicated time each week to cross the language barrier by learning Spanish together. We've heard sermons preached in Spanish. We've heard a traditional Chinese instrument in worship. We've sung in new languages together. But we've also been invited to this practice in other less literal ways. It may feel like a long time ago, but it was actually this time last year that we were closing out a year of studying anti-racist worship practices with this grant that we call the Balm in Gilead. We had the joy of sharing a choir with St. Ambrose Episcopal Church, a historically Black congregation. We worshiped together one Sunday morning. We deepened those experiences through Peace Camp, and we participated in with St. Ambrose and Southeast Raleigh Table. Later in the summer, members of our church showed up at Out Raleigh to share a witness of love and care for LGBTQ people in our church who may have had experiences of hurt in congregations. And this year has been filled with joy and community. We blessed backpacks and beginnings. We went to a baseball game. We helped to clean up the Walnut Creek watershed. Our church retreat focused on the ways we could deepen our relationships through mutual admonition and gentle truth-telling. We had campouts, we visited a green burial cemetery, and we welcomed godly play into Christmas Eve. And there were so many ways that the Holy Spirit stretched this church out in love of neighbors. People from our church helped to rebuild houses with Mennonite Disaster Service. We stepped up for Raleigh Heart Campaign that's working to provide a crisis response unit in our city. Many of us took active bystander training. Our church expanded its care for disabled folks through a disability audit that focused on access and justice. Many people in this church worked towards a ceasefire in Gaza with Mennonite Action. Mennonite youth volunteered at a community garden. Craig brought us back to Parkview for a Christmas party. We were excited to finally be back to work in the women's prison with women who've been incarcerated. And friends, we have so much to celebrate. Leah and RJ got married. Karina and Jaxelli got married. Miguel and Laura got married. Andrew was baptized. So many people joined the church. It's actually hard to imagine how we were church before you got here. And last summer, we welcomed Melissa Rogatti as our new children's ministry coordinator. Friends we got to know Zooming in worship through COVID, they started to get together in Wilmington and are exploring putting a Mennonite house church together there. Isn't that all amazing? And of course, as you can imagine, whenever there's people, things can also be hard. Alongside these times of joy and hope, people we cared about left, they moved. People we love got sick. Parents needed more help. Grandchildren struggled. We experienced deaths in our community, deaths of people that we love in our community. We disappointed one another. We miscommunicated. But tucked in between that was forgiveness, bringing meals to one another, talking it out, sharing a cry over coffee. I won't ask for a share of hands if you've cried with me over coffee in the past year, but it's been a few people. Because here too, God's deeds of power transform us. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit among us now. In today's scripture, Peter turns towards this larger crowd who witnesses these events and are skeptical. We actually haven't learned the word yet for drunkards in Spanish class yet, so I'm glad to have that one added to my vocabulary list. And when they hear this preaching, they are cut to the heart. They are shocked into recognition of this Jesus. And they say, what should we do? And Peter tells them, get baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. And they do, 3,000 baptized that day, brought into the Christian life. And we learn that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Y'all, that's a lot of change. We went from 120 people to 3,000 people in one day. The church is just a couple of guys on some street corner to this complex system of people crossing generations and ethnicities, religious heritage, genders, ages. And the rest of the book of Acts is about that complexity. They gotta figure out this life together. They have to see from other perspectives. They have to come to agreements about what they're gonna do. And it is not pleasant. It is sticky and messy and beautiful and hopeful and scary. Then and today, it takes grace and openness, messing up and saying you're sorry, forgiveness and compassion, and a strong sense of care for one another at the foundation of it all. We've also been coming to this realization about the changing nature of our church. We didn't add 3,000 people, but so much changed for us in a really short time. As the pandemic shut down churches, we left the space that Raleigh Mennonite called home for decades. We welcomed Zoom people to worship, and now we have friends from across the country who join us for worship on Sundays. With the pandemic, a lot of people's lives changed. A lot of people felt overwhelmed, less sustainable. There was an increased sense of fragility, physically, emotionally, and mentally. And as it is, we have a lot more people who come to church less frequently than we did 5 years ago. And we grew in distance. Did you know that we now have 17 people who travel to this church from Durham? 17. The distance from the furthest north member to the furthest south member is 43 miles. It wouldn't take you an hour to drive. Our church ranges in ages from 2 years old to octogenarians. And there are now 22 children who are a part of this church's life. What a gift. What a challenge. What a joy. What a place for us to stretch and grow and find our way to one another, into the kind of church systems and ways of life that we need to sustain this community. So many people speaking the language of their culture and age, their neighbors and ethnicities. How can we, like the first to receive the Holy Spirit, hear God speaking in our own language from the home of our lives? We heard about this first moment today with this massive wind and these tongues of fire, this first gift that leads towards an intentional form of life. It's messy and beautiful and complicated. And the newborn church will cultivate practices and forms of life to make that available to each other. But I also remember that in the Gospel of John, Jesus offers a very different vision of the Holy Spirit. Rather than this moment of sort of wildness, the Spirit is called an advocate. The Spirit comes alongside, walks with, accompanies in love and care. Our church will continue to grow and change and shift. We'll see new gifts. We'll struggle to understand. And through all of that, the Holy Spirit has accompanied us. The Holy Spirit draws near to our church and helps carry us towards the love that will make us one. Amen.